Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat. I'm Lisa, and joining me today are Mouse Chatters Lauren, Chris, and Bob. Welcome, everyone.
Hello.
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 No Steve this time. He is still down under. Maybe we'll have him next week, but for right now, we still are Steve-less. We had him last week. That was a nice little treat.
Did you really? Oh, I missed her.
Yeah, okay. He was on.
I was in Texas.
It was beyond thrilling.
It was.
So was Texas.
Really?
Well, not really. I don't know. I mostly saw the inside of a law office, but that was nice. Dallas-Fort Worth has a heck of an airport.
No complaints.
Did you have any good food?
I did. We had authentic Tex-Mex.
Ooh, yummy.
So that was, from a local joint. That was great. And then we went to this awesome burger place called Jake's, which was another local place, and I had a chili burger.
Sounds disgusting.
No, it was awesome. And they have all kinds of different burgers, but for whatever reason, they serve them on poppy seed buns.
Burger.
So you get all those.
Yeah. Poppy seeds, not sesame seed.
Poppy seeds.
I don't like either.
I was kind of afraid that they were going to give us an opiate test right afterwards.
I think I've had a burger on a poppy seed Kaiser.
And the bread was really good. Yeah, it was like a poppy seed Kaiser roll.
It was
soft though, and it was good. Anyway,
you know what? When you have a burger, it should be a plain bun, a plain white bread bun. Don't try to give me any brown bread. I don't want a brioche. I don't want poppy seeds. I just want simple, a white roll.
Oh, I don't
toasted.
Know. I like whole wheat. Whole wheat rolls are good too.
Not on a burger though, unless it's maybe a veggie burger.
Anything is better than the bread they're using at Casey's. And I know talk about
true.
The hot dogs way too much, but what is that? It's like a piece of Wonder Bread. Really thick.
You know what? They always try to
I've never had one.
They try to fool you into thinking you're getting whole grain bread when all you're getting is white bread that's got that sort of brown coloring in it. So what's the point? Just give me a nice white roll.
Well, my problem is it's so dry and it swallows up the hot dog.
Are we going to tell everybody what we're going to be talking about?
Right. Yeah, I guess.
Because bread is not our topic for tonight.
Are you?
What about the band bread?
The band bread. Yes.
Bread. Yeah.
If we'll have to do that another week, but right now we've already got something else scheduled.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
Because I could talk about cruise ship bread.
Lisa
for quite
takes
a while.
The fun out of everything.
I could talk about the bread they had at that French place in Epcot. That was awesome.
Yeah. I'm kind of here to keep things on track, though.
That's right.
All right.
Wait, you're Steve tonight.
Yeah, you're Steve tonight.
Okay.
Well, maybe you should try to be extra obnoxious then and wear a short white bathrobe.
Okay. I will keep that in mind. But our topic is we're going to be talking about the advantages and disadvantages to staying off property, non-Disney resort, off property.
Very passionate
dun, dun, dun.
About this.
Yeah, we've got quite a few things to say about this. Mostly Lauren.
Mostly negative. Oh, no.
Yeah. So, Lauren, your latest trip that was off property, you want to tell us about it? What are some of the experiences that prompted this whole topic?
Well, first, where we stayed was very nice. It was clean.
You can tell us where you stayed.
Where did I stay?
Very impressionable.
Wow, that's bad. You know what's worse? I can't remember where I stayed the year before either. That was horrible.
It comes to you, you can throw it in.
It was it the Hyatt?
It couldn't have been the Hyatt.
Buena Vista Palace?
Buena Vista
oh,
Palace.
Downtown Disney?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's my least favorite
Hundreds
downtown
of
Disney
resorts
resort.
And Bob nails it.
You got to love Bob.
I occasionally get one right. I knew I was here for something.
Comic relief.
Yeah, so we stayed there. Well, it was right across from downtown Disney, which was convenient. That was the only thing that was convenient about it. I could not believe the prices of the food in the hotel. It was so expensive. I went downstairs to get a cup of coffee, and I got my daughter's a chocolate croissant, each a chocolate croissant, and I think my bill was like $15. Just the cup of coffee alone was like $5.
Wow. But you need your coffee, and they know that.
Yes. And I wasn't making it out the front door without my coffee, so that was not an option. But then
had a car. Why didn't you just go to McDonald's or something?
Well, I was sharing a car with, there was like 16 of us, I think.
And when you're there, I can totally understand, like, well, I could walk to my car. And actually, Buena Vista Palace has a really far parking lot.
God, that was horrible.
They make you park really, really far away. So I can appreciate sometimes if you're off-site, you're like, well, do I want to just get it real quick from the little cafe that's right here, or do I want to...
Right.
Go out to my car and drive over and get the
coffee.
Well,
it's a lot of effort to go off property to leave the hotel and just to get a cup of coffee.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and the best part about it was the day I met Chris, and I had Chris's car. So I took Chris's car over to meet her at Art of Animation, and I went into Art of Animation's quick service area to get a cup of coffee. And guess how much a cup of coffee there was?
Do tell.
$2.50.
Nice.
Half the price. There you go. Well,
who had better coffee?
Oh, Disney. Believe it or not, Disney. Yeah.
I think there can be certain advantages to staying off property.
Well, wait. Here's another example. Chicken fingers. Just chicken fingers, no fries, nothing else with it. 6 chicken fingers was $12.99 at the hotel.
Oh gosh!
Mm. And an entire meal with fries and chicken fingers was $8.99 at Disney.
Wow.
Well, aside from the food, though, what did you think of the hotel? Because I have my own views on Buena Vista Palace.
The hotel was clean. It was nice. It wasn't, you have to remember, too, compared to where we stayed last year, this was like literally a palace. But it was clean. The location across the street, it was nice to be able to walk to downtown Disney. I hated dealing with the buses. Buses.
Right, because it's not like a Disney bus that runs every 15 minutes. How often did they come?
They ran every 30 minutes. At the top in the half hour. And when they dropped you off in these different spots. They didn't drop you off like...
Well, they're not going to get to go where Disney goes.
Right. So you have to take other forms of transportation to get where you need to go. It was just so inconvenient.
Do they drop you off at TTC, like for Magic Kingdom?
They do. For Magic Kingdom, they drop you off at TTC. They drop you off in the parking lot behind TTC. So you have to walk up to the TTC area.
They dropped us off in OBT, and I have no idea why. They dropped us off in the worst part of town.
Okay, wait. We're using way too many acronyms. TTC is Ticket and Transportation Center. Transportation and Ticket Center, depends on how you want to say it. And OBT is just Bob's way of being funny.
The Orange Blossom Trail that we all know and love.
It's got a great reputation.
Property without a car.
Right. I would think I think that's a very good point that if you are going to stay off property, you must have your own transportation because bus service from other hotels is unreliable. It doesn't run nearly as efficiently as Disney's or as often. And as Lauren just found out, they drop you at different spots because they don't have the access Disney does. So that is a very good point.
And even with the buses, like when I was sitting there waiting for the bus, my daughters and I were sitting waiting for the bus, and we were in front of the hotel, and a bus pulled up, opened the doors, and we go to walk on. And he's like, no, wait. And he's like, I'm not picking you up. And then he left, and 10 minutes later, he came back, and he picked us up.
Maybe he needed a potty break.
I'm like,
But like, I was going to say, bizarre. You know, it's one thing when you're all excited and revved up for the day and they drop you off behind TTC and you have to take the monorail or the ferry boat over to the park, to the Magic Kingdom. You know, you're all revved up and you're excited and it's not a big deal. But at the end of the day, when you have to do that in reverse, what a drag.
Well, and you have to wait online to get to either the ferry or the monorail to take you back to the transportation center. And then when you get back there, now you have to find your bus because they're not labeled like they are. You know, they're just sitting in a parking lot.
Right. It doesn't have the big Disney logo. Sure.
Right. There's not like a sign that says, you know, Buena Vista Palace here. Like you just got to find the right bus.
Right. And you know, this is not limited to just Buena Vista Palace because Donna and I stayed last year at the Waldorf, which is in the downtown Disney resort area. And although we had a car, the resort does offer private transportation, and their shuttle service was not good. I don't even think it was every half hour, to be honest with you. So you could go several hours in a park before a bus was coming. So it kind of limited when you could go and when you could come back, and it added an extra layer of trying to plan your day. And I can't imagine trying to make dining reservations or something around that. So yeah, definitely. If I was going to stay off site, rental car is the way to go. So that's an additional expense that somebody would then have to consider.
Well, yeah, and then you have to think about parking. You're going to pay to park.
Right. That is true.
Not just that, but
how much is parking now?
I think it's
14.
15?
Is it 15?
Did it go up? It was 14.
Maybe it's 14.
The biggest thing that we encountered when we stayed off property, and we actually had two cars. We rented like a 3-bedroom place and we stayed off with family. And the biggest issue was the fact that everyone wanted to go different places. So maybe the people with older children wanted to go in the parks and stay later, whereas, you know, our kids were little and we needed naps. And so I felt like I was just driving people around, even with two cars, because it just, I don't know, it just was, I felt like a cabbie that entire weekend. So,
Chris, you're right. It's 15. 14. Yeah, 14. You're right.
Yeah. I didn't think
It will probably be 15 before too long.
Right. Yeah. So
by the time our
right.
show airs, it'll be 15.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think that I think the biggest thing is just the back and forth with a car. Even if you have a car, you know, you're looking at about, even if you're just a couple of miles off Disney property, the thing people need to understand is that Disney property is 43 square miles. So, you know, you could say, oh, this is a 10-minute drive to Disney property, which is very misleading.
On top of that, just to get to the Magic Kingdom.
Right, just to get to the Magic Kingdom. Then if you're the type of person who takes the tram, you've got to wait for the tram, get on the tram, go over there, get off the tram, get into the TTC, walk through there, and then you have to decide if you're going to take a monorail or a ferry. It's 90 minutes, and I timed it because I was so annoyed, and I knew, this is before I was doing the podcast, but I knew I was going to blog about transportation because I think that's the biggest issue staying off property. Everything else is kind of, you know, somewhat insignificant, I think. But I knew I was going to blog it. So every time I timed it, and in general, it took us about 90 minutes, and that was in early December with no crowds.
And that was driving your own vehicle.
That was driving our own vehicle and not relying on a shuttle bus, which would have been impossible. We were staying at everybody stays there. The villas that they have, I can't even remember the name now. Windsor Hills. We stayed at Windsor Hills, which if you've been to Windsor Hills, you know you can literally go into Disney World through the back area past Animal Kingdom, but it's still a haul from there. And not everybody knows where the shortcuts are. If you're a first timer, I guarantee you don't know where those shortcuts are.
Or me, so. I get lost in a bag.
Yeah.
We got to stop sending you bags.
Well, hey, I got lost in the parking lot at Downtown Disney, so I'm not going to criticize you.
No, wait. I have to tell you, we actually, I was with, you know, a whole bunch of people for that trip, and I never drive in Disney because I always stay on property. And the only time I ever get in a car and drive on property is with Chris. And everywhere we wound up in a parking lot, someplace we shouldn't be.
Funny.
We turned in the wrong direction. We went the wrong way. Every single time we went out, we went the wrong way.
And that's with signs everywhere.
That's with signs.
And that's with having been there more times than you can count.
Right. Well, but I don't pay attention on the bus.
Disney property is easy to get around on if you just
pay attention.
Well, that's a whole other podcast. But I mean, seriously, it is easy to get around on. But as far as getting onto property, and gosh, you know, God forbid you're actually coming from like International Drive, which is a real mess every day, all the time, or you're coming from farther down 192. Oh, and speaking of 192, so I actually had a really bad experience. Can we maybe segue from transportation issues just to quality issues? Because to me, one thing I like about staying on Disney property is that the quality is very consistent. Like, I know if I go to All-Star Sports, which is my absolute least favorite resort on property, I know that that room is going to be as clean as a room at the Grand Floridian. It's just consistent across the board. And that is one thing I like. Whereas off property, so I needed one night and I ended up spending, I was like, oh, I just need this one night. And I was by myself and I stayed in a dump on 192.
Oh, you didn't. Oh, no.
I do you remember the name?
I don't even, I think it was a Days Inn. And I only needed one night, and there were, and it got good reviews on TripAdvisor, and so it was awful. And I got there late. This is a while back. I got there late at night, and it was I didn't really check out the room that carefully. But like the next morning, I'm like in the bathroom going, "Oh my God,
what did I do?"
It wasn't worth the $55. So no. Yeah, I mean, so
okay. Well, wait a second, Chris. Realistically, if you're paying $55 for a hotel, do you really think it's going to be anything? Do you think they cleaned the room?
Do you know who recommended this room to me? Oh. None other than Disney god Len Testa.
No,
seriously, because I had done like a little meetup, and he was there, and we had chatted about offsite rooms, and I sent him an email, and I said, okay, where do you recommend? And he goes, the such and such. You won't be disappointed.
And so he set you up.
He doesn't like you very much.
No, that's not true. We have a special friendship. No, seriously.
I'm not so sure anymore.
It was bad. And I never did say anything to him about it. I didn't say, hey, that was a real dump.
Well, hopefully he doesn't listen to the podcast.
No, he does. Trust me. But I mean,
this is going to get back to Len.
I know, right? Disappointed.
There are some very – so here are two – I think very good issues if you're considering off property, and we're not trying to dissuade anybody. I think from staying off property, there are good places to stay, and it can work for people. But things to consider are that you will need transportation, so there's going to be an additional cost for that. You are going to have to pay parking to get into the park, so add in $14, $15 a day for each day of your stay for that. It's going to take a lot more time out of your day coming and going, and at the end of the day, as somebody who lives fairly close by, I can tell you at the end of the day when you are tired, the people you envy most are the ones you hear on the monorail or the buses who are saying, oh, when we get back to the hotel, we will do X. Because you know you have a drive in front of you and you just want to hurt them. And then quality, because there are a ton of hotels and villas and rentals and places to stay within the Orlando Kissimmee Celebration area. But as Chris found out, unfortunately, some of them are not so great. And even Buena Vista Palace, I had probably the worst hotel experience ever at Buena Vista Palace.
Well, and I think that the other thing that you don't consider, and we have this at Buena Vista Palace because my mother and my mother-in-law were coming in separately. And I was like, oh, we'll just set them up on a shuttle. You know, they can just call for the shuttle. Well, you have to pay for the shuttle. And it actually wound up being cheaper to rent a car for the time that they were there than it was for the shuttle price for two people.
All right. And I think that's probably how a lot of these off-site hotels make their money. They can advertise a lower price for the room and then nickel and dime for things like parking or a cup of coffee, a plate of chicken fingers, the shuttle to pick you up.
Yeah.
All of that definitely adds up. So yeah, it's definitely a concern. I mean, who do you think then offsite appeals to or is perfect for?
Okay, I think if you have a large family, you want space. Obviously, you can't afford a villa because a villa is going to cost you $6,000 for the week, and that's just prohibitively expensive. And so you look at something like Sheraton Vistana, which is $100 a night for a fairly new two-bedroom. If you've never been to Disney before, you don't know how far Sheraton Vistana is. You don't know that half of those rooms are not remodeled and they're kind of dumpy. And so you go and you stay there and you get all that extra space. It appeals to people who need space. And I've actually found in dealing with, potential clients that if somebody is hung up on getting all that space for the price, you can't talk them into two values at POP.
No. And, you do get a good amount of space that way, and you get the convenience. Because I have a family, I have a family of eight right now that's staying at POP in a couple weeks, and they were fine with it. They took a look at everything, and they were like, oh, this is going to work perfect for us. And they have six kids.
Yeah, but I think those are the kind of people that don't get too hung up on it. But when you get people that are definitely hung up on the idea of having all that room, they just don't – you can't get them on site.
No, you're right.
And you can't explain to them the value of, extra magic hours, package delivery, the transportation. You just can't.
Yeah.
And I think they almost feel like maybe we're totally biased towards it. And I guess we are, but
we are to an extent.
Well, but we can also book offsite and we just sort of, we know how hard it is.
Yeah. It's a lot more work to be offsite.
We're biased, but we're biased for good reason. Well, Chris, when you say large family, are you talking 6 people, 10 people, 8 people?
I think any sort of family with more than 5 people. If you can't put someone in a standard room for, if you can't get, like I've got, say, somebody with 4 kids and 2 parents, and you tell them, well, this is what this is going to cost, and they will counter, well, I can stay here and get a washer and dryer and a full kitchen. I mean, it's very, very hard to dissuade people. It's not hard for people who've been there before, but first timers, I think, are very easily swayed.
Well, they don't know
space, right?
They look at the pictures, and the pictures they're not fair representations of what you're going to get.
No,
and the review that you had on TripAdvisor,
right? I mean, all of the reviews on that resort, most of them were good. Unfortunately, I didn't look at the last of my book. I kind of did on my blog.
Well, you need to do it on TripAdvisor.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody's experience will probably be different. I mean, I'm sure the Buena Vista Palace gets overall decent reviews.
Right.
It has great reviews.
Right.
And there are wonderful places to go. I mean, Gaylord Palms is just a mile away from where I stayed, and that's a really nice resort.
Yeah, that one gets 2 thumbs up from me.
Yeah.
That's an awesome place.
But can I say something else? Like I have a grand gathering. I think there's 9 rooms total. And one of the families in that group, we're sort of in the process of booking right now. One of the families, they're from Seattle. And so guess where they go? They go to Disneyland all the time. And they keep saying to the rest of their family, well, we always stay off property at Disneyland and it's not a problem. And it's hard to convey how big Disney is to somebody who's a Disneyland visitor. You know, and I'm like, no, you could fit Disneyland in a corner of this, of Disney World.
What did they say? Disneyland will fit in the parking lot of the Magic Kingdom.
Really? I've never heard that. That's awesome. I didn't know that.
Yes. And I don't know if that's pre or post CA, California Adventure.
I think that's pre.
I think it's
got to be pre, yeah.
It's got to be pre, yeah.
And it can't even include Downtown Disney, because Downtown Disney is pretty big.
I think it's just the original Disneyland park.
Right, just the park. But that's still pretty impressive. But no, that's a very good point. Disneyland is a whole different animal. There are tons of good neighbor hotels in Disneyland that are very close, within walking distance even, of Disneyland Resort. And they're very good quality. And it almost makes more sense in a lot of ways to stay off property with Disneyland.
I mean, it's nice to stay on property, but and especially at the Grand Californian.
Well, there's not as many options in Disneyland either.
No, and the pricing on their hotels can be very, very high. But when you are looking at Disneyland and Disney World, it's like comparing apples and, I don't know, kumquats. there is no comparison. I don't even know what a kumquat is. It's some kind of a fruit.
It's a little orange. It's like a little fruit.
Oh, okay. Well, I like the word. It's like cucamonga. I just like the word. Like
or
saying.
Plantains.
Oh, no. Plantains are good. Don't mess with my plantains.
I don't like those.
Yeah. Oh, what do you know? Unsophisticated American palates.
I don't know. You're so sophisticated.
You are, Bob.
I am.
I'm simply in awe anytime I watch you eat.
I'm too.
See, now you're going to give me a swelled head.
I am.
I've lost my train of thought, but no, that's a very, very, very good point. I don't know where I was going with this.
What was the point, Bob?
You were talking about Good Neighbors, California.
Yeah. Well, it's escaped me.
And then somehow it got to your swollen head. So
yeah. Okay. Oh, well.
I don't know how we jumped there.
Yeah, well, it happens.
So what are some other aspects that one would need to consider? Because one thing I wanted to point out is we've been talking a lot about transportation, and something to consider is that time is truly money when you're at Disney. And if it's going to take you 90 minutes and you figure out how much you're saving by staying off property and how much you're paying for tickets and how much time you're losing – It's not going to come out in the favor of that off-site resort, especially if you can stay at one of the value resorts.
Right. And that's the thing I think a lot of people don't really realize either, is that Disney really can be affordable if you look at it right.
Okay, so let's just pick a prime let's pick a week. I want one of you, do one of you have your DTA up?
I do.
We're going to do a quick quote, Chris.
All right.
Do a family of four.
Okay.
It's going to have to be rack rate. Let's do June.
Okie dokie.
Family of four, 5 nights, 6 days. Do a 5-day base ticket. 2 adults.
Wait. I'm slow. I live in the South.
You have the slow typer.
Yes. Okay. So 6 nights. How many nights?
5 nights.
Okay.
6 days. 5-day base.
Okay. How old are the kids?
Do a junior and a child. A junior is considered a child who is 10 through 17.
Alrighty.
A child is considered 3 through 9. An infant is 0, 1, or 2. And an adult is 18 or over. I should have done that in order, but that's okay.
And you said a 5-day and base dining?
No,
where
don't
are
do
they
dining.
Staying?
Don't do
okay,
dining.
No dining.
Because, you know, they can sack lunch it if they're worried about budget. Well, I've done it, and you can too.
That's another thing you got to consider too.
Yeah. We'll talk about that in a second. I just want to find out what it's going to cost to stay at a value for 5 nights in June. Make it, if it's not too late, go ahead and make it over the weekend because you got to get those weekend rates. Do a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Okay,
check
with
out
tickets.
Wednesday.
With tickets, no dining. 33-40-107 and a standard room at Pop.
Okay, so 3,300 for 5 nights, family of four.
Yes, ma'am. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
Is that without a discount, though?
That's without a discount, and you can typically count on.
Oh,
some
you know
sort
what?
Of discount. What'd
the
you do?
Stupid DTA changed on me. Ugh. Okay.
What'd you do?
Let me see. Let me do it again. 4, 10, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80. Sorry.
No pressure.
Math is hard. All right. Hold on.
Kevin's going to be so ashamed of you.
I know, really. I'm just like, I don't fit in with the family because of my inability to do math and my dance moves, which are so much. Anyway, I digress. 1991-79.
That sounds more like it.
Yes.
Because I think like, with the discount, you can get it closer to 1700, mm-hmm. would you say?
Yes.
So full price in the summertime, which is peak season, you're looking at $1,900, $2,000 for your 5 nights with your tickets for a family. I think that's reasonable. And, you know, some people think that a Disney vacation is going to cost them at least $5,000. It mm-hmm. could. It doesn't have to.
Yeah, depending on how you do it.
Yeah. And you will spend a lot of money on food, but if you do it my way, you don't have to. And seriously, honest to goodness, you know, we backpack and we stuff the peanut butter and jelly in there and apples, and bananas just don't make it, but...
Oh, we always bring snacks in because I don't like my kids snacks. Eat that junk anyway. So. Yeah.
So you can do Disney on a budget, and of course that's a whole nother show, but I wanted to get a price, and thank you, Chris, for looking that up.
No problem.
And let everyone know that, what are we looking at? $1,900, no discount at all.
And I would say that so many of the trips that I book are in that $2,000, $2,500 yeah. range.
Yeah.
It's rare that you get the 5,000, 6,000 plus trips. I mean, I love those trips, don't get me wrong. Well, right. No, what I was saying is the majority of trips that I think I book, and I think all of us book really, are probably in the $2,000, $2,500 yeah. range. So there is a misconception, I'm sure, that a Disney vacation is going to be prohibitively expensive and cost $5,000, $6,000 or more. And it's rare that trips do. I mean, you can certainly spend that, but you don't have to. Like we said, the I think we've made some very good points here. If you have a very large family that needs the space, it could work for you. But keep in mind that you are going to have the additional expenses of probably a rental car, paying the parking fee every day, and the expense of your time, which is invaluable. Mm-hmm. Getting on property, parking, possibly having to take a tram and then a monorail or a boat to get to a park, and doing it in reverse if you have to go back to your place for naps, if you have a young child or people are tired.
Yeah, that's just a nightmare.
Or at the end of the day when everybody's tired, the last thing you want to do, it would be so nice to get on Disney transportation and know that they will get you back to your resort, and instead you've got to do this whole process in reverse, get back to the parking lot, find your vehicle, drive to your location in unfamiliar areas that you don't know.
But you know what? I was going to say, I think we need to not even post this show because I want people to keep staying at those off-site resorts because a lot of them do have young kids and families, and they go early in the morning and they do poop out. And it's when they poop out that I start to have fun because the parks clear out. So let them keep coming. Because well, they're not going to make it back.
Right. Yeah. That is true.
I'm going to take advantage of my mornings and my evenings at Disney, and I'm going to go back to my resort on a short little jaunt on the bus, on the motor coach, and take the afternoon off, and I'm going to take advantage of those cool morning hours and the cooler evening hours and the nighttime entertainment. So we don't need to post this.
Yeah, let's keep it a secret.
Good idea.
I'm so selfish.
You know, though, we talked about this a while back. We talked about how since there's a set number, basically, of people who will go to Disney World, you know, every year, that discounts and things like that are what draw off-site, like traditionally off-site people on property. So I think you can motivate people to stay on property with those discounts. But when there are no discounts, I can really see why people say, forget it, you know, I'm not paying $5,000 for a week at the Grand Floridian, when frankly, I can stay for less at the Waldorf Astoria. And I think, you know, Bob, you and I both agreed, that's kind of a nicer hotel.
Oh, absolutely. It is very, very nice.
I think it might be advantageous to stay at Disney if you're doing the lower end. Instead of trying to, you know, if you're saving money and trying to get every penny out of your vacation, stay on Disney property because all that other junk is going to get in the way. But you're right. If you're going to go with one of the deluxe resorts, there are some nice options off property. And that may be a way to go. I'm just saying, you still have to deal with all those horrible, high costs on food and the coffee and the transportation schedule. But as far as the hotel itself and the cleanliness and service and amenities, it's there.
Right. Well, just do your research. I'm sorry.
I always say that I would rather stay on a value on Disney property than the equivalent of a moderate off property. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know that I trust those moderates. I know I trust values on Disney property, no question. But those moderates, those are the ones I don't trust. Obviously, you can trust a Waldorf Astoria. That's, going to be very nice. You could probably trust, like the Hilton. Was it a Hilton?
Hyatt Grand Cypress.
Yeah, that was a beautiful resort. Although it was really far.
Well, it's just around the corner from downtown Disney.
I thought it was so far. Well, you know why it seemed far? Because y'all took us off on the Steve took us off on the highway when we followed you guys.
But the thing is, it depends on how you go, because you're looking at a left and a left and a left, and that's kind of annoying. But I like that hotel, definitely.
Well, and as much as I say do your research if you're going to stay off property, sometimes all the reviews point to a good experience, and it's not when you get there. I'm sure there are many people, and there may be listeners who have stayed at Buena Vista Palace and had a great experience. That was not my experience.
I just love that picture of the bed that you and Donna posted on Facebook. It was like this bed with this like big sag in the middle.
The room was, it looked like it had not been cleaned. I mean, when you can see dust and water stains on like the table and such,
they must have taken care of it after you guys left, because it wasn't that bad.
And then we closed the door to the bathroom, and I found a robe that wasn't like the hotel robe. It belonged to a previous guest. It was a completely different color. It was covered in hair. And when I called housekeeping, they said, "Oh no, that's the hotel robe." And I said, "I don't think so. I don't think it is." But they wanted to argue that point. And then I was like, "You know what? Forget it. I'll get in the shower," and I go to start the shower, and I press up on the handle, and it came off in my hand.
Oh, God.
Oh, you know what? So, actually, come to think of it, Bob, the first room they put us in, a room, and the bathroom door wouldn't close. And there was no ventilation, like, in the room. So, like, if you went to take a shower, it got so hot in there, you almost passed out. And then the next day, they switched us to a different room, and that was fine after that.
Issues that you and I had at Beach Club when we stayed there in June?
Oh. Right. There were interesting things at the Beach Club.
Yeah.
There were terrible things at the Beach Club. And when I was at the Grand Floridian a couple weeks ago, I swear that room service tray, the people next door to us, was out for at least, I don't know, almost 24 hours. Yeah. So, I mean...
All of these things are unacceptable, and we're certainly not suggesting that staying on Disney will mean that you won't have any problems whatsoever, or everything will be perfect, because no one can make that guarantee.
But it is more consistently good. It is.
And what you said earlier about the way the room is cleaned at All Star Sports or Pop or any of the other values is just as good and consistent as the way the room is cleaned at the Grand Floridian in a suite concierge level. Mm-hmm. That is good, and that is something that you can count on. And if it's not up to par, at least you know that Disney will listen to you. If you say something, they'll take care of it.
Right.
Despite my complaints to Buena Vista Palace, the issues were not addressed. Well, the water in the shower was, because they didn't really have much of a choice. It was gushing out of the out of the faucet, so they had to kind of fix that. I think bottom line is it can be the right choice for the right family. You just have to weigh it carefully, and if it's close, I think there's no question that you stay on property. You pay a little extra. Yeah. I mean, if it comes down to Disney being a little bit more, stay on property.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a tiny amount. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's fair to entirely characterize it as not working. If you have older kids and nobody's napping, if you have a group that's cooperative, you know, I mean, offsite can really work. It's just, if you have people who have different needs, you have smaller kids, you have older people, there's going to be a lot of going back and forth, and that's going to be a pain. And that's why Disney becomes very convenient.
So I'm still wondering or thinking about this. What would be the best argument for staying at the Waldorf versus a deluxe on property for a change? I mean, that's the only thing that I'm thinking of, just to get a different flavor.
I don't know.
Yeah, but you can try different hotels on. I mean, how many properties does Disney have?
I have to admit that it did feel more higher end. Like, I went over there in October and had dinner over there. It just felt.
Right.
I mean, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, as somebody who stayed in those rooms, the Waldorf has a higher. The service is of a higher end than it is at any Disney Deluxe. Not to say it's bad at the Yacht Club or Beach Club or anything, but it's not like the Waldorf. You know, I mean, the Waldorf, they turn down your room, they put out the weather report for the next day. If rain is anticipated, they pull out an umbrella and it's sitting nearby. They have slippers by the bed. The bathroom is beautifully done and ornate and marble.
And the handles stay on?
The handles do stay on. The rooms are huge. Even the standard rooms are huge. When you pick up the phone to call for your vehicle, and you have to valet park it, essentially there, immediately, anytime you call anybody, whether the front desk to call for your car, whatever it is, yes, Mr. So-and-so, and they greet you by your last name. Yes, Mrs. So-and-so. It is much more higher end.
The valet thing kind of drove me crazy, I have to be honest.
Yes, the valet thing drove me crazy too, because you would wait a long time for your car, and part of that was because we stayed over a holiday weekend. But I don't care for that. I love the luxury of coming and going as I please and not having somebody get my car. Especially when I was driving a piece of crap, and every other car there was like a Mercedes, Lexus, or Acura.
And then you drive
that's
up.
That's true. Yeah. I noticed that
too. And I was
too,
driving a PT Cruiser, yeah.
And even, I have to say that, like, even though the Grand Floridian costs more per night, you definitely, the guests at the Waldorf just seemed better dressed, without question.
Yeah. Yeah. But the Waldorf is very expensive in room service. The pool snack bar and things, extremely expensive. And one thing I didn't like there, the pool closed at 10 o'clock at night. So I kind of thought that was a bummer, too. But it is a different caliber. If you're looking for something different, you want to compare just to see what offsite is like. But I think it's fair to do. I mean, you can't stay at like All Star Sports and then go to the Waldorf and say, "Wow, there's such a huge difference." Well, of course, there's a huge difference.
Yeah.
You know, that's not a fair comparison. But if you compare a moderate with a moderate offsite or a deluxe onsite with a deluxe offsite. Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's worth checking out.
That wraps up this week's show. Thank you to pixievacations.com for sponsoring this podcast. You can download our shows at mousechat.net and also from iTunes. Please send your comments and questions to comments@mousechat.net. Please join us here again next time on Mouse Chat.